Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's episode is with Eli David. Eli David runs a blog and podcast called Become Nomad, and is also the co-founder of a startup ecosystem map at Startup Blink. His blog and projects have been featured by CNN, Forbes, and Business Insider. And Eli has an interesting story. This guy moves every 2 months. He moves every 2 months. I don't know how he does it, but he's on a mission to show you just exactly why the nomadic lifestyle is something that we can incorporate into our life. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Well, pleasure's mine. And the most fascinating thing about you is this moving every 2 months. You know, you've lived in more than 30 countries now, and you've traveled to up to 60 plus countries. But until 2010, you were in a stable relationship. You maintained the cat, and you were a rising star in your accountant firm. What happened, Eli?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. The cat is still around, by the way. I gave it to a friend of mine, and the cat is live and doing well. What happened? That's a very, very good question. It was a long time ago, Tayo. So I remember that in the first times that I talked about it, 2012, 2013, it was very, very much in the flow. But now I can't even remember the story so much, to be honest. But the short version is that, let's say I was an accountant and I didn't really enjoy my daily routine of going on the bus every day, going to the company, working as an accountant, going back home. And then when things started falling apart a little bit, it was the recession time and I got fired for the first time and so on. And then my relationship kind of broke. I kind of took the opportunity to do a very major change in my life that I wanted to do, but I never believed that I could do. And I guess this is one of the major lessons out there, is that when people are talking to me about this lifestyle and they're afraid to do it and they say, I have too many circumstances that don't allow it, I always tell people, well, you know, you kind of can do it later in a way. You can wait until the life circumstances are giving you the ability to, you know, to kind of pursue your dreams. You don't have to go for it straight. Like life has a strange thing about giving you the gifts of freedom when you least expect it. So that's basically what happened. It was an alignment of consequences that happened and a dream that I had in mind a few years before, and all of it together kind of made it happen.
No, that's a very important story. And so when you decided to move and start to just make that decision, I'm going to travel, did you know early on that you were going to be traveling every 2 months, or did you start off slowly and then you changed your mind as you started to travel?
I didn't know anything. When I started, I just had in mind the image of a nomadic lifestyle. I didn't really know what it means. By the way, it was 2010, so there wasn't that much material about it as well. Like, it was very, I remember I didn't even know the concept of a digital nomad. I didn't really understand how to do it. So it was kind of a trial and error. I actually started changing locations every day. I had a stupid rule, I really regret it now, but I had to learn the hard way, of a nomadic lifestyle has to, it was ultra nomadic as I called it, and the idea was that I can't stay in the same place more than one night, which was a very, very incredibly interesting experiment.
Why did you want to do that though? I'm curious, what was that idea? Because you said you just left this job, and then the first thing that came to mind was you just wanted to travel. So then why did you then make it even more like, I'm going to make sure I don't stay in a place longer than 1 month? I'm just curious about the mindset that you had then.
That was actually one day, but the mindset was very, very clear. It was, I don't really know what it means to... The idea is as following. Once you jump into it, and since I had no models of inspiration, I had to build it myself. And building a lifestyle is not easy, especially when you don't have a lot of information. So for me, it made sense back in the time that if you really want to live a nomadic lifestyle, you kind of have to switch locations every day. Like, that's the rule of nomadic lifestyle. It also came from a book that I read about one of the encounters of Buddha with someone that changed locations every day. And then I didn't really like the book, and the story of Buddha is interesting, but didn't really inspire me. But this guy in the book actually was the one that inspired me, and he said something like, I never sleep in the same place every day. So I just said, okay, this probably is how it should be like. And needless to say that after doing it for 1 month, and I remember doing it for 1 month, you really get burned out. You're more or less a zombie. But what I'm trying to say is that I am actually proud of this. I'll tell you why I'm proud of this, because I'm basically slowly and try to customize my own lifestyle. Instead of even though it means doing horrible mistakes and being a zombie for a month and so on and so on, but the idea was, hey, let's try to follow my intuition, try to figure out what is the best way of doing it, and then fix it as I move. And that was the initial idea, a really bad idea, but then again, an idea is better than not doing anything. So it was a rocky start, but then, you know, slowly I changed the lifestyle into longer stays and slow travel. So
yeah, longer stays and slow travel. Okay, so tell me what you've learned from all your experiences. I mean, what's been the most interesting thing you've learned about yourself while you've traveled?
You learn all the time. That's the nicest thing about this lifestyle, is that basically it allows you to kind of figure out who you are. Because, you know, in the regular lifestyle, when we have maybe the 9-to-5 or whatever we have, there are a lot of things that are certain that keeps on happening every day. So you're not really feeling challenged by new stuff, let's say. And this lifestyle keeps on throwing surprises at you. And I think one of the things that I learned is that those surprises actually teach you about yourself. So when life keeps on surprising you and you get out of your comfort zone, that's where you actually get to know yourself. Because when you're in your comfort zone, there is no knowing process. You already know who you are. You're in the comfort zone. So
right.
I think that this lifestyle, like for me, it's kind of a psychologist in a way. You know, instead of going to a psychologist, I just travel and then I figure out stuff about myself as I move.
No, I love that you said that. Because me and my business partner, we have a company that this actually came out of this podcast, and we go into different environments to really talk about the best way to connect across cultures. And sometimes she's from Colombia. She's an immigrant from Colombia. She's an American Colombian. And when we go into these companies to talk about how to get all these different people to connect, we're always like, man, that felt like a therapy session. We really got different sides to come together and really see the common goal. And when you said it's like therapy for yourself, I was like, yeah, that's the same thing that happens when you expose yourself to different environments. You start to realize that, yes, there's a common goal that everybody wants to be happy, but there's a different path to that. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think that, and I advise people sometimes that when they're in a low point of their life and they need a change, I advise them to go traveling, because I think this is an amazing experience to actually, you know, get to know yourself, get out of your comfort zone, and kind of figure out what's going on in a way. So I totally think there are amazing opportunities in this lifestyle and knowing yourselves as well and kind of figuring out, you know, who you are, what do you want from life, what keeps you ticking. So definitely, I think that's a good way to do it.
Okay. One of my favorite things is connecting, right? So I'm always interested in people like yourself who move around a lot and you find yourself in different environments, different languages, different foods. What is the first thing you do when you go to a new environment and you're trying to make sure you connect with the locals? What do you do?
Basically, because I work a lot and I work on two projects currently, it's important to say I'm not really traveling. For me, if someone's saying to me, hey, you're traveling a lot, and that's amazing, I tell them, hey, I'm not traveling. I'm trying to settle down from day one. And that's like a sentence that I always use, settling down from day one. So it's not like you're going to a place like, you know, in my backpacking trip that I was going to a place trying to explore it and so on and so on. For me, it's like, how do I feel at home from day one? That's basically the focus. And I think it's interesting to see that when you are trying to feel at home, that means that you're trying to be a local as soon as possible. That's the best way to immerse into a culture. Instead of, you know, just saying, hey, I'm going to explore it and this is so amazing and I'm seeing a new place and so on and so on. When you play a different game of, hey, I'm a local. I'm just like those guys and I have the weekends off just like them and I'm working like crazy during the week just like them. It gives you other opportunities of connecting with people that I think that if you have the touristic mindset, it's more difficult in a way. I don't know if it makes sense. But,
no, so you're saying apply the mindset of a local. And if you're a local, that means going to the local grocery stores or any restaurant and not just trying to look for resorts. You're saying, hey, I want to get to know what this country's about and I'm going to ask you as a local, can you tell me what the things are that you would do on a normal day? And I just want to adopt that mindset because I feel like I'm at home already, so just take me into your world.
Exactly. Instead of looking at a place and saying, that's so amazing, the other game is like, hey, I want to be like you. And the minute that you're playing this game, you know, like settling down as soon as you can and assimilating, doing the same actions that a local would do, a local that is working during the week and is off on weekends, I think you can understand the culture a lot better. You mentioned Colombia. I was just in Colombia for 6 months, actually. I came back about a month and a half ago. And I use the opportunity. One of the things that I really enjoy doing while I'm in a country is writing notes, like the things that I find most surprising about the country. And in Colombia, I was so inspired by this country. I wrote notes wrote an article of about 2,000 words about it. I contacted Colombia's biggest magazine, Semana, and they published it. And it created a huge mess. I saw the Facebook post. It had about 5,000 shares and so on. It was totally crazy. The vice president said that everyone should read it and so on.
Look at you, man. That's good.
I got some death threats as well. But because I was very, very honest with my, like, all the bad things and all the good things as well. But it was hilarious and it was a great experiment. But the thing is that I think that I reach a certain level of insights because instead of just, you know, kind of saying, hey, I'm a tourist, I'm trying to kind of experience the country. In my case, I'm trying to understand the country. And someone said that this looks like, my article looks like a thesis in sociology that is basically like going all the way and trying to really figure out the mindset of a people. And I'm obsessed about it. I really like the part of really trying to figure out what's going on, you know, instead of just being amazed by nature and so on, going a little bit deeper and trying to really figure out what is happening, why are people the way they are, why are they thinking the way they are, what happened in the history that changed the way that they think. And I think that we, as, you know, as long-term travelers, we owe it to ourselves to get out of the mindset of just looking and being impressed and also going a little bit deeper and trying to understand what's going on. And by the way, Taya, one of the nice things that I noticed is that countries are very, very similar after some time. People, although they don't really have the same culture and so on, there are many, many threads that are identical. Some of the problems are identical as well, and you see it repeat itself in various versions, and it's fascinating for me. So I really like this stuff of you know, going deeper, analyzing, trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, no, and this comes from you taking notes. It's so funny. I grew up because I moved around because of my dad as a diplomat. But one of the things that he did was what you were saying. He would observe his environment whenever we go to a new country, take notes, and sort of see those trends and see behaviors, what makes people smile, what makes people frown. And I always tell people to do that because I also do that everywhere I go, even if I go to a new state here in the United States. But there's something magical that happens when you just start to read what you've written and like, oh my goodness, some simple gesture like this goes a long way. Or if I go to a French-speaking country and I even practice saying a few words of hello, that softens them and allows them to feel like I'm connected to them. Or if I try a food and say, hey, what's the best food that you're known for? And they're like, yes, you want to know? People, tourists usually ask for burgers when they come here. And they're like, yo, you're one of us. So just things like that. I just take note of all those things and things that cause people to frown, get angry, smile, or bring people together. And I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm exactly the same with this.
Yeah, wow. That's incredible. So talk about your stories. You've got two platforms that you run, right? You've got Become Nomad, and you've got this ecosystem that you're a co-founder of. Can you let us know what you're
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Trying to do both.
Yeah, sure. So Become Nomad is a nomadic lifestyle blog. I took a different path in the blog. It's one of the most boring blogs we're ever going to encounter because I'm not speaking a lot about myself. It's actually a blog and a podcast as well, but I'm only diving into general themes in the nomadic lifestyle. For example, minimalism, how to make money as a nomad, in which age should you start being a nomad, and so on and so on. So Become Nomad is a very interesting, let's say, experiment of trying to really put the lifestyle in the center instead of my travels. Because, you know, what I told you before, my travels are pretty boring. I work all week, so it's not gonna, I can't really, I'm not a big Instagram star and so on. So all I have is analyzing basically the issues that influence us as nomads. So that's basically the idea, and it's a really fun project. What I'm doing usually in Become Nomad, because it's not a main project and it's something that I do as a hobby, every time I encounter a problem, I really go deep in Become Nomad and try to analyze it. For example, one of the things that happened to me is that once I had a big problem in a border, I don't remember which country it was, but I got deported. Was about 5 years ago. And then I really researched the subject of how do you safely cross borders between countries without having problems. So every time once I skipped a bus and I wrote an article about what to do on many, many hours long rides on buses. So every time I kind of fail in my lifestyle, I have the habit of going and kind of analyzing the topic and then putting it on the blog as well and on the podcast. So it's a pretty fun project, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I recommend everyone to have a blog. The only thing I would recommend is also to kind of try to have a unique voice. For example, you know, something that no one else does, and then you can be the best in it in the world, because if nobody else does it or took this specific angle, then it makes a lot of sense. So I know that, you know, a lot of your listeners are probably thinking about starting blogs and so on and so on. But the idea is I would only start a blog after, or, you know, after I have some kind of a different angle, something special that you want to tell the world in a special angle. Other than that, it's not going to be sustainable. It's just going to, die out at some point. And the other project is startuplink.com. It's basically a global startup ecosystem app. We started this about 4 years ago, and we have tens of thousands of startups registered on the map, more than 1,000 co-working spaces, hundreds of accelerators. And the project, we maintain it with the help of an American company called Ansys, which is our partner for this project. And basically, it's one of the biggest directories out there for startup ecosystems. We're also now doing some kind of a ranking of startup ecosystems. If you go to startuplink.com, you have this huge table that actually tells you where each country and city ranks according to their startup ecosystem strength. And I think that this is something that digital nomads should take into consideration, because if you're going to a place that has a lot of startup activity, you're going to be totally inspired. There are going to be lots of meetups, high quality people that are trying to reach places and are trying to build really, really cool stuff. So I recommend that, one of the factors that we should check as we switch between locations is how does it influence our own career and our own personal growth and career growth. So I think that going to a place that has a buzzing startup ecosystem makes a lot of sense for us in general. Yeah.
Wow. Now, there's so much to unpack there, right? So I want to start with Become Nomad and we go to Startup Blink. The thing that you said that I really love is you said everyone should have a blog. I believe everyone should have their own website or their own creative outlet, what is the domain name.com or something related to that. But you said don't start it unless you have a unique voice. And now someone's listening to you, Eli, saying, well, that's easy to say, Eli. You have a unique voice. How can I find my unique voice? What would you say about that?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. When I started Become Nomad, I said to myself, okay, another travel blog, this is what the world needs. And then I said, probably not, but what do I care about? And then I actually said, you know what? I care about how to live this lifestyle efficiently, like tackle subjects that are relevant, but without talking all the time about me. I did a quick check. Most of those sites nearly don't exist. And then I said, okay, here is something that is unique and doesn't really exist. So go for it. And the idea is that I think everyone should have, or everyone has it. Let me rephrase it. Every one of us is the best in the world in something. I'm 100% sure, because the world is so varied. There are so many possibilities here that you can't really allow yourself not to be the best in the world in something. And what I'm saying is that once you figure out this thing, then go for it. And then you're going to give a different angle. It can be something that already exists, but you read them. Let's say you read the articles there and you say, that's really low quality. I can do a lot better job than this one. Then you go for it. And the idea is that it has to do also what I told you before with my stupid story of, changing places every day. It also has to do with trial and error. When I started Become Nomad, I actually started it as a regular travel blog. And then slowly, as I put it out there, I kind of noticed that the things that get most traction were the general stuff about what are the advantages of nomadic lifestyle, what are the disadvantages of nomadic lifestyle, and so on and so on. So the idea is that your unique voice, it's good that you kind of know what it is, but the only way to really know what it is to throw it out there and make it touch the people, the market, get their feedback. Because you're never going to know until people tell you, hey, this is great. Or they either ignore it. And then you know that maybe it's not so great. So I know it's a little bit confusing and life is confusing, but the idea is that the unique voice is something that you love doing and that also helps other people, and you're getting feedback about it, that it helps other people. And in Become Nomad, I pivoted from a regular travel blog to something that, okay, this is special. And the idea is, again, and I say it again because it's really, really important, I think that this is a painful point for most of us. We think too much, about what is my unique voice. You're never going to know if you're not going to start with a voice. It doesn't have to be unique. Yeah. Start with a voice, see how people feel about the voice, and then make it unique.
Yeah. No. And what I'm gathering from what you're saying is start with the voice that you have already, and then always test out what your content is or what it is that you're producing. Like, you see if there's actually market feedback. But whatever you start with the voice you have, and your voice will evolve. I mean, you started off, you said, just another travel blog, and you're like, oh my goodness, there are other things I care about within travel, and no one talks about that. And then you can go on from that. I can even say the same with the podcast, right? You know, I started the podcast with the big goal of connecting people across cultures, but telling people that they can embrace a global mindset. Now, I could have said what you said. Well, there are many other people that found themselves as TCKs. They grew up in different parts of the world, but no one was starting that. So I said, I'm just going to bring all the people together from different parts of the world and have them share their opinions on what it's like to actually be global leaders. And then as I continued to develop my voice there, I realized that I could speak more, I could do more videos, I could consult, and, you know, it evolved. But that would not have happened if I didn't start at all. And so I think the most important thing that we can, if we can hear from your story, is that start with a voice, always test out to see if it's validated in the market, and continue to be as authentic as you are. Because if you try and live someone else's story, you're going to get burnt out and it's not going to be sustainable.
Definitely. And if you plan too much, you're also not going to reach anyone. You know, like Albert Einstein was not Albert Einstein when he started, you know, doing his physics career and so on. Michael Jordan, when he started as a young kid, he wasn't the best basketball player in the world, but he started playing, you know. So the idea is, you need to start. It's going to be embarrassing. Nobody's going to remember it because nobody cares in the beginning. You're going to build yourself up into something great if you just start and constantly think about improving and finding your unique voice, like you said. So the idea is, you don't have to be perfect when you start. You can be a total mess. Just start, and then things are going to figure out.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the second part of that question, the startup blink. I mean, that is fascinating to me. You're telling me that you are able to rank these ecosystems, and I don't know where Israel ranks, but I think Israel ranks pretty high, right, on the startup ecosystems, the amount of startup activity going on in the country. But you believe that if nomads are able to find out where a lot of activity is generated around startups, that can actually create more interaction and make them feel more inspired.
Definitely. Israel, by the way, ranks fourth, which is very, very high. It's a pretty amazing country. Actually, a lot of things are happening here. No one can beat the United States. It ranks first and in top margins. If you go to startuplink.com, you're going to see the huge table there of all the countries and cities in the world. But yeah, definitely. I think digital nomads, okay, let me rephrase it. Some digital nomads don't have to do it. If you're a digital nomad that is kind of relaxed, you know, taking it easy, working on your own project, and not trying to change the world, you don't really have to do it. And by the way, this is absolutely great. Like, if you found your balance in a way that doesn't have to do with startups, feel proud of it. Everyone should have their own relaxed lifestyle if they wish to. So it depends, but if you're trying to build something and you're in the mindset of building something really amazing, then it makes a lot of sense to build it in a hub and not in a place that doesn't have a lot of startup activity.
No, that makes a lot of sense to me. So now you said you have a partner in the US. How can people join? What's the path to success here? People just go to your website and then they sign up for something, or how do you call to
definitely. You can go to startuplink.com. Basically, you have a button there, add the startup button, and you just add your project, and it's totally free. One of the things that are there as well, by the way, Tayo, are co-working places and accelerators that might also be relevant for digital nomads. You know, especially one of the biggest findings I had as a digital nomad is that I love co-working spaces. You know, they can get noisy and a big mess, but it's much, much better than working at home. It's one more way of immersing in a culture. So definitely, this map is basically, I think, you know, what we do and the projects that are most fun to do are the projects that are scratching our own itch. Yeah. So in a way, Become Nomad is scratching my itch, because every time I have a big difficulty in my nomadic lifestyle, I write about it and I'm trying to analyze the topic where I have difficulty. Startup Link is the same. I had this itch of trying to figure out where are the places that I can go to that have good startup ecosystem. And where the places that have most co-working spaces and so on and so on, and it allows me to do it. So it's kind of fun to work on projects that actually connect to your lifestyle as well. And this is something that it's not a must, but if you can do it and if you can work on a passion project that actually helps you and you actually use it, then it makes sense a little bit more than working on a regular projects.
This is incredible. I love those two things. You know, love Become Nomad and what you're doing with startup, you know, creating the startup ecosystem, because I think it's so important. I think the more we move into the, you know, 21st century, we're going to find a lot of people are more freelancers and entrepreneurs than they're actually 9-to-5ers. And so you creating this ecosystem allows for a community of people, of potential like-minded people who can actually make an impact in the world. So once again, I commend you on your efforts for doing that.
Thanks.
Where can people find out those two websites? What are the websites for those two?
So you have becomenomad.com, and that's the blog and the podcast. And you have Startup Blink with a B, where you can take a look at the map, filter by industries, locations, and also have a look at the rankings of all the cities and countries. And yeah, basically it would be great to get feedback if someone sees one of those projects and has any suggestions or ideas. There is a feedback button on both, and you can send an email. I would love to hear from
you. Awesome. Well, I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. But before we go, this is the question I ask all my guests. It is the mission statement of my podcast, Use Your Difference to Make a Difference, right? So I want to know how you, Eli, are using your difference to make a difference.
Well, that's a good one. That's a tough one. I think all of us are making a difference, you know, just by being here in a way. I'm trying to be happy. I'm trying to figure out what is it that I want to do and what is it that makes me happy and makes me tick. And I guess that if I'm going to find out, and I'm well on the path of finding out, it's I guess you never really find out, but you're always on the path, then you're making a difference while finding out. So the idea is, once you're moving, you're making a difference instead of staying in the same place. And I think this is one of the biggest lessons of this lifestyle. You know, if you want to make a difference in your life and in the lives of others, moving around is a pretty good way of, you know, messing up the game a little bit and reshuffling the cards. So that's my way of doing it.
No, you do a good job of that. So, you know, you're using your difference to make a difference by being a nomad and constantly creating platforms for people that move to feel connected. I love it. You know, Eli, this is going to come out very, very soon. I'm going to make sure of that, Eli. Don't worry. That's an inside joke for those listed. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been truly an education of many sorts, and I can't wait to see more of your work and maybe you educating us on the good and the bad of other types of travel experiences through your blog.
Excellent. That was a real pleasure, and thanks for inviting me.
All right. Pleasure's mine. Ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference. Make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.